It's not an option. It's a right. Cocked, locked, and ready to rock the world of the anti-gunners. You're listening to the guy who had to register his mouth as a full auto weapon. Bill Carnes and 2A Radio. The fight for your rights isn't for pansies. So buckle up for the ride and knuckle down with Bill Carnes and 2A Radio.
All right. Hello, everyone. Hello. First live show that I've actually put out here since, I think it was last Wednesday. It's been a week. I did last Wednesday. Then, of course, the Thanksgiving holiday weekend came in. Took Thanksgiving off. Obviously, spent the day in the kitchen and in the dining room. And then immediately after, in the bed. Just sleeping. I gotta tell you, the tryptophan in turkey and the peaceful sleep that that offers the average guy, I gotta tell you, I love it. I'm kind of curious as to anybody out there that tried out any of the Thanksgiving recipes that I'd put up on the website. Let me know what you think. Just shoot me an email, bill@2aradio.com. I do know that was down for a while. That was somewhat intentional. And just let me know what you thought about it. People seem to really be raving over the Miles Standish stuffing. Seemed to be great. As a matter of fact, the last couple of days, what I've done is I've taken the excess turkey that's left over, and I've started making homemade turkey pot pies, like an individual size. Go out and get the aluminum tin, get the pie crust, roll that out a little bit thinner, because it's usually a little bit thick for something that small. Brewed up all of the pot pies. Put everything into a great big old crock pot. And I was used, cheddar cheese soup, cream of chicken and mushroom, cream of celery, chicken stock, a can of milk, that would be the same size as one of the soup cans. Then, put in a frozen bag of the mixed vegetables with, corn and green beans and peas and, carrots, and then added in a little celery and onion in there as well. Little pepper, little celery salt, mix all that stuff up, let it simmer up, cook up in the crock pot, and then put them into the aluminum tins with the pie crust, put the pie crust over the top, seal it up, mark it on top, stuff it in the freezer. And I did the first group, got I think 5 of them out on night 1. Did 5 more on night 2, so I guess I could have just doubled up that recipe. But, cut up a bunch of white and dark meat and threw all that in the pot as well. Duh, it's turkey pot pie. Anyhow, took the first couple of them out that we did on the first night, and the following night we took them out, and my daughter and I, we stuffed those in the oven at, 350 degrees for 30 minutes. And my God, that had to be the best pot pie I've ever had. Just before I put them in the freezer, I take an egg and I beat it, whip it up, and then I take a brush and I brush it over the top of the crust, then everything goes into the freezer. And what happens then is you end up with this golden brown delicious crust on top. So anyhow, if anybody's interested in doing the turkey pot pie thing, now is about the time, because it's not going to be good much longer, any of your leftovers. I know I'm going to have the last of my fresh leftovers today at lunchtime. Probably have an early lunch. I've had an early day. Take a bit of a nap, and then I'm out of here for the next 3 days. However, I am prepping a bunch of shows. I will be in the studio for a while after this show and prepping new shows for the next 3 days, because I am going out of town, get a few things done that have needed to be gotten done for some time. So we're going to be getting on that. We have plenty coming at you today. We're going to talk a little bit about the latest with WikiLeaks after the break. Stay tuned. I'm your host, Bill Carnes, right here with 2A Radio.
You're listening to 2A Radio with Bill Carnes.
So So, switching gears just a little bit, we have WikiLeaks, who's been in the news quite a bit in the last week. They leaked a bunch of internal reports from Department of Defense, both in Afghanistan and in Iraq, dealing with all of the different, I guess, instances of noteworthy information that soldiers would bring back in. Now, what's really happened is there's been a huge backlash with the uninformed masses, the same people that voted for Obama, a huge backlash against WikiLeaks for this. As a matter of fact, I saw something online just yesterday that was an online poll. Should WikiLeaks be treated as a foreign terrorist organization? And, of course, I clicked no. However, about 56% of the people said yes, the same percentage of people who voted for Obama. So it's really interesting to me that there is freedom of the press guaranteed in the First Amendment. It is a human, God-given right. And what they're doing is they're exposing what happens in government. They're exposing what happens in private industry. Things that aren't right. And here people get all kinds of pissed off about it. Wrong answer, guys. Wrong answer. WikiLeaks is doing what they should be doing. There should be a lot more organizations like this. And I guarantee you, Julian Assange, the head of WikiLeaks, the founder of WikiLeaks, this guy's life is in jeopardy every single day. Now, right now, it's in jeopardy by the U.S. government. Coming up sometime early next year, it's going to be in jeopardy by some large corporate bank, some national bank, that they have a whole bunch of papers, tens to hundreds of thousands of pages, as he says, depending on how you look at it. I think it's hundreds of thousands of actual pages of information, but tens of thousands if you actually get rid of the garbage and muck in the middle. That's my imagination anyhow. But he's going to be releasing that, dealing with all sorts of insider corruption and fraud, which is probably going to prompt a whole bunch of internal investigation and possibly even some banking regulation changes, because this is the sort of thing that really helped dive the country into a terrible economy just 2.5-3 years ago. Evidently, it's still going on. And since all of these people are the ones who are giving money to the politicians that make a difference, the regime in control of the White House now, these are the folks that have turned a blind eye for so long. They're going to be forced into something. So it's my feeling that WikiLeaks and Julian Assange are doing exactly what the founding fathers, the original American patriots, called for when it came to freedom of the press. Of course, now we have the federal government who has blackballed WikiLeaks, and now the organization that accepts donations has dropped them because both the United States and Australia have blacklisted them. Blacklisted them financially, blacklisted them with information. They're doing their very best to try to restrict Julian Assange, his travel internationally. It's like, you know, this guy is doing the right things, but because the governments involved are the ones reaping the whirlwind of this whole deal, they're trying to really hose this guy. I mean, they just want to spank him, bend him over their knee, and give an international spanking to Julian Assange. Now, since WikiLeaks has become so internationally recognized, and Julian Assange's name has been out there so much, that offers him some relative level of security, just that people know him. However, if they're able to get WikiLeaks to really, I guess, kind of die off sort of thing, make it go away, sometime down the road after Julian Assange has been forgotten about 3, 4, 5, 6 years, he'll wind up dead. His only hope for staying alive is keeping WikiLeaks going, because there's too many people that have been harmed by his exposing of their dirty, filthy, disgusting laundry. This is the guy that we should be standing up and saluting. This is the organization that we should be supporting. And there should be a whole lot more just like it. That's my feeling on this whole thing with WikiLeaks and Julian Assange. Now, I want to talk for a moment now about the state of Missouri. I'm going to talk about them because we had dealt with Arizona's bill, SB 1070, which was taking state regulations, taking federal regulations and applying them mandatory to state agencies and the way that illegals had to be dealt with. Well, here's the deal. Missouri has literally, effectively, no illegal aliens in their state. It's because their approach to the problem of illegal immigration appears to be more advanced, sophisticated, strict, and effective than anything to date, including Arizona's SB 1070. Now, I got to ask a question. Do the loonies in San Francisco or the White House appreciate what Missouri's done? Well, probably not. When our de facto president and his dynamic attorney general, when they actually take action dealing with illegal immigration, their idea is this whole dream plan of allowing everyone to stay. Well, my question now is, when are they going to take action to require Missouri to start accepting illegal immigrants once again and overturn their laws, as they had a federal judge block some of the major portions of Arizona's SB 1070? Well, here's a question. Why doesn't Missouri receive the attention? The answer is there's really no illegals in Missouri to demonstrate or bring up problems. So the show me state has been showing the entire U.S. very quietly how it should be done. And I'd like to bring this out a little bit more publicly. Let's pass it around. In 2007, Missouri placed on the ballot a proposed constitutional amendment designating English as the official language of Missouri. Well, in November 2008, it was approved by nearly 90% of the voting populace. Thus, English became the official language for all government activity in Missouri. No individual has the right to demand government services in a language other than English. In 2008, a measure was passed that required the Missouri Highway Patrol and other law enforcement officials to verify the immigration status of any person arrested and inform federal authorities if the person is found to be in Missouri illegally. Missouri cops receive specific training with respect to enforcement of federal immigration laws. In Missouri, illegal immigrants do not have access to taxpayer benefits such as food stamps and health care through Missouri Health Net. That's a biggie. They took away all of the socialized programs. In 2009, a measure was passed that ensures Missouri's public institutions of higher education do not award financial aid to individuals who are illegally in the U.S. Also in Missouri, all post-secondary institutions of higher education, they require them to annually certify to the Missouri Department of Higher Education that they have not knowingly awarded financial aid to students who are unlawfully present in the U.S. So while Arizona has made national news for SB 1070 and the stopping thereof, it's important to remember that Missouri has been far more proactive in addressing this huge problem. Missouri's made it clear that illegal immigrants are not welcome in the state, and they will certainly not receive public benefits at the expense of Missouri taxpayers. And this has been wildly successful in Missouri. They do not operate in the red with a bunch of excessive social programs supporting those who are here illegally. If you're in the country illegally, every breath you take is an illegal breath. Every motion you make is an illegal motion. And far, far, far too many states reward that with free help, free money, free food, free education, free job placement assistance, and in a lot of cases, if they're old enough, free Social Security to those who have never paid into the system. Does anybody else out there happen to get those Social Security cards every few years that say, to date you've paid this much, so when you get this you know, 65 years old, you can expect to probably get this much per month, which in today's day and age seems a bit low. Another 20 or 30 years, it's going to be pathetically low. Anyhow, I digress. All right, guys, that's it for this segment. There's certainly more to come after this segment when we return from these next commercial breaks. Stay tuned. You're tuned in right here with Bill Carnes and 2A Radio.
RoninTactical.com has certified concealed carry training specialists that travel to you and your group of self-protection advocates. Organize a group of friends, family, or co-workers who take their responsibility of self-protection seriously, and RoninTactical.com will send out a certified training specialist who will provide a course of instruction that will get you and your group certified to carry concealed in over 30 states while providing you, the organizer, a commission for organizing the event. Do you travel for work, family, or vacation and want to remain armed and safe when traveling? Contact RoninTactical.com for details on staying home and having one of our certified professionals travel to you to provide the training and credentials for you and your group to safely and legally carry concealed in over 30 states. Call 888-416-4809 or go online to RoninTactical.com.
Tell everyone in the room to pipe down. 2A Radio with Bill Carnes is back.
And welcome back from the break. I want to talk about the way that some of our freedoms are really being just plain stolen from us. And this comes from one of the three branches of government. There's three official branches. There's a fourth unofficial branch. But they have all kinds of power. You have the legislative, the executive, and the judicial branches of the government. Now, the fourth arm would be the regulatory branch, or some people call it the administrative branch. So what that does is basically that's like the ATF, the IRS, and the organizations where Congress passes a law and then they write regulation and go out and enforce it, and the regulation has the full force and effect of law, which is a big, sick, disgusting way of doing things. So the black-robed cretins in this country have really played a huge downfall on American society with their one thought, one rule. I'll give you a perfect example. Was back in the 80s, there was the big anti-immigration bill in California, which passed by huge margins. And one radical judge said, oh, can't do it. It's unconstitutional. So then what people started doing in different states around the country was they started by introducing constitutional amendments to their state constitutions. Therefore, what you end up with is something that has to be constitutional because it's an amendment to the Constitution that everyone agrees upon. Now, we've only really had one huge social amendment that went to the Constitution. That was prohibition. And then it was repealed through a later amendment. Just flipping through, I can't find which amendments they are there. Since one washed out the other, basically pretty unimportant. Historically speaking, however, they passed. Now, nobody said you can't pass that constitutional amendment because it's unconstitutional. However, in the state of Oklahoma, it's exactly what's happened. There's a U.S. district judge by the name of Vicky Miles LaGrange. Miles hyphen LaGrange. Now, back in early November, she issued a temporary restraining order on the certification of an Oklahoma state constitutional amendment that was passed by the voters by a huge margin. which would effectively bar Oklahoma courts from considering international law or Sharia law when making any decisions whatsoever. Constitutional amendment. Well, back in early November, right after this, like, you know, I think 5 days, 6 days maybe after the election, Vicky Miles LaGrange, the hyphen, that just bothers me. The hyphens bother me. I don't know why. They just do. She issued a temporary restraining order on the certification of this state constitutional amendment, citing it looks to be unconstitutional. Really? Well, then she put it on hold till November 22nd, and then on November 22nd she came out and she said, yep, we're going to have to continue holding this because I need more time to look at it. Really? Well, here's my thoughts on it. The voters want to change their constitution. The voters, the populace, the people, are the ones who retain ultimate power in this country. If the people want to change, and the people voice that change directly without representation, that is the strongest voice to be heard. Now, effectively, what that would do is that would not restrain anyone's First Amendment right to freedom of religion. Wouldn't restrict it at all. It would merely restrict the courts from using international law, courts in the state of Oklahoma, international law to base their decisions rather than the Constitution of the United States of America and the Constitution of the state of Oklahoma. It would also bar them from making any decisions based on arguments dealing with Sharia law. Now, that's Muslim law. A lot of people refer to it as radical Islam law. Things like men can beat their wives without any real, not having to explain themselves. And they can even use a stick no thicker than their own thumb. Now, I got to tell you, my thumb is thick enough. If I grabbed a dowel rod about the width of my thumb, even if I took the most narrow portion of my thumb, even up near the tip, I can inflict some serious damage. As a matter of fact, if I use that outside at a bar and whip somebody to the point where they need to go to the hospital, something tells me that could be used as a charge of battery with a deadly weapon. So, anyhow, this federal judge, this thug in a black robe, this hyphen, Mickey Miles LaGrange, has effectively taken this away from the voters of Oklahoma. Shame on you. Huge shame on you. We should not allow this. She should be gone. That's all I have to say about that. Life is like a box of chocolates, and sometimes you get these black robe thugs as just the stinkiest piece of chocolate in the box. Stay tuned, guys. There is more to come. You're tuned in right here with me, Bill Carnes, and this show, 2A Radio.
You're listening to a guy who packs a gun to shoot the bad guys and packs a mic to shoot his mouth off. Bill Carnes and 2A Radio are back.
Welcome back from the break. You know, one last thought on this thug in a black robe in Oklahoma before I move on. And that is this. How can a constitutional amendment be unconstitutional? We're amending the Constitution. How could that be unconstitutional? We're amending it by a vote of the people. You have the people, the ultimate power, the ultimate authority, using their rights. How could it be unconstitutional? It'd be like saying that since, in the original Constitution, women weren't allowed to vote. when we passed, what was it, the 21st Amendment? Women could vote and people of 18 years old could vote. There were no poll taxes, nothing like that. Well, once all those things were undone with amendments, could they have said, oh, you can't pass that, it's unconstitutional. Of course it is. It's an amendment to make sure that things are better. So for a federal judge to tell a state that you can't do something because it's unconstitutional, that's not the prerogative of the federal government. The federal government can't do that. Not in my eyes. There is no authority. So, in my eyes, the state of Oklahoma should completely disregard the federal judge and let the federal judge say, you have no authority here. That's just the way I look at it. Why can't the governor of California or the attorney general of California, the chief attorney of the state, I'm sorry, not California, Oklahoma, why can't the attorney general of Oklahoma stand up and say, you know, Your Honor, or maybe you're not quite so honorable, just plain judge hyphen, here's the deal. This is Oklahoma state business. It has nothing to do with you. You haven't any jurisdiction here. So, you can rule whatever opinion you want, but it has no effect in our state. So goodbye. On top of that, it actually says specifically in the Constitution that only the Supreme Court of the United States can take up matters with the state. So this judge hasn't the authority anyhow, which would be incredibly simple for the Attorney General or the governor of the state of Oklahoma to stand up and let them know that. It'd be that simple. My brother lives in Oklahoma. He digs it. He's been there for probably about 4 or 5 years now. And it's interesting. I've still yet to go see him. He's back here in Nevada often enough that I see him 2-3 times a year generally. But anyhow, I should probably get him on the horn and ask him what the sound on the ground is there in Oklahoma. We're going to switch things up just a little bit here now. And we're going to talk about, I'm going to read to you an article written by Pastor Matt Truella. And he wrote a biblical response to those who say we should disarm, to those who teach pacifism, to those who think the Bible has nothing to say about arms. So let's go through this. Genesis 4, 18 through 12, in this passage, Scripture records the first murder where Cain killed Abel. That Cain must have used some sort of weapon to kill Abel is evidenced by the fact that Abel was bleeding. He was not strangled. Notice how God responded to the killing. He did not institute some sort of weapon control. Rather, he punished the one who committed the crime. Exodus 20 and the following in his holy law, which God decreed at Sinai. Nowhere do you see God outlawing weapons in regards to the various crimes which he prohibited in his legislation. He always punishes the perpetrator. He never disarms the citizenry. Exodus 22:2. In this verse, God declares that if someone breaks into your house at night and you kill him, you are not guilty of murder. This verse makes clear that you have a God-given right to defend yourself and to defend your family. We really don't need to go beyond there, but we will. In Deuteronomy 22:23-27, this passage deals with rape. Notice that verse 27 ends with the words, but there was no one to save her. What is the implication of such a statement? The implication is that had someone been around to hear her cry out, they had a moral duty to intervene and protect her from being raped. To stand by would be immoral. We have a God-given right to defend not only ourselves, but also others. Numbers 1, in his economy, God instituted an armed citizenry, not a standing army, in order to deal with the affairs of war regarding Israel. This is what the founding fathers of America envisioned for our nation. Even in Switzerland today, every home is furnished with a machine gun. Well, not a machine gun. It says a machine gun in here, but they're not all machine guns. At least a battle rifle. One of the reasons Hitler chose not to invade Switzerland. Another reason why Japan chose not to invade the west coast of the United States after the attack on Pearl Harbor, decimating the Pacific Fleet. They knew that far too many households had guns and people who used them. Let's see, Samuel 13, verses 19 through 22, the Philistines disarmed the Israelites. Weapon control was instituted. No blacksmiths were allowed, lest the Israelites arm themselves. A disarmed people is the sign of a conquered people. A disarmed people is the sign of an enslaved people. In Isaiah 2, 1 through 5, many, including the United Nations, take the latter part of verse 4 in this passage, which states, "They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks," and try to say that God wants us to disarm. The context makes clear, however, that swords will be beaten into plowshares and spears into pruning hooks when God himself rules, not when the United Nations or any other government of man rules. Matthew 5, passages 38 through 39. In this passage, Jesus is not denigrating the law of God in regards to one's right to defend himself and others. Rather, he is repudiating the lex talionis, the law of retaliation, which says, if someone messes you up today, you go back and mess him up five times worse tomorrow. Now, the Pharisees were even using the law of God to justify this mindset. Jesus is repudiating this personal vengeance, which some sought to justify and participate in. He's not saying we cannot defend ourselves or others. Now, there's many more in this article, and I need not really go on. The thing is this, you and I, we know this. We are people of faith. We are people of having the ability of critical thinking. And we understand that an armed citizenry is the strongest foundation to a free nation. By far. Hitler himself said that history shows when a conqueror takes over a nation and he allows the citizenry, his new subjects, to keep their arms, he's already setting into place his own overthrow and demise. Hence, what did the Nazis do? He knew his history. They took their guns away from everybody. They made society so safe with their police that, look how safe society is. You don't need your guns. Turn them in. Then, all hell broke loose, and out came the Nazi machine. We have this critical thinking. Those who do not, the anti-gunners, the leftists, they are all the same people who don't go to church, don't know the Word of God, don't believe in the Word of God. These are the same people that, you know, even if they read this, even if they listen to this show, and they're listening to my voice now, they would have nothing to do with it. What they would do is they would cite, well, there's a commandment that says, thou shalt not kill. That's all they'll say. Okay, well, are there any other commandments that you know? There's 10 altogether. And keep in mind, the literal translation of that commandment that you quoted incorrectly was, thou shalt not murder. Now, in the King James Bible, they put, thou shalt not kill. Oh, societally speaking, okay. Remember the Crusades? How many millions of people in the Dark Ages and the Renaissance years died at the hand of an army marching under the word of God? So they were God's army in their eyes. So people died. So they were killing. Did all of them go to hell? Well, no. Thou shalt not murder. That's different than someone dying. I have to tell you this. Someone breaks in the middle of the night, attacks you, attacks your wife, attacks your kid. If you wake up and someone is brutally, brutally beating, just completely brutalizing your child, and maybe they've killed one of your kids, they're in the process of killing another, they've already beat up your wife, do you really think when you grab a gun and shoot this person dead, that God's going to hold you in judgment? No. he's going to hold the perpetrator in judgment. And it doesn't have to go that far. The evil mindset, just the evil mindset and the evil actions of someone, that person will stand in judgment. Not you for wiping their ass off of this God's green earth. Now, that doesn't mean you go out there as a vigilante and you take people out. What happens is, when the evil comes to your door and starts pounding on it, or rather kicking it in without any advance notice, that's when you rise up, you meet the challenge, you stare evil in the face, and you shoot it to the ground. That's why we remain armed. Any government entity, be it a town, city, county, state, or the federal government, that says you are not allowed to exercise that right to self-defense. Really? Well, if you're an original class citizen, Second Amendment's always applied. If you are a 14th Amendment class citizen, now, thanks to the McDonald decision, it now applies. And you can let them know that. Well, you know, there's this little thing called rights. And everyone in America enjoys them. Now even 14th Amendment citizens enjoy it through the Privileges and Immunities Clause of the 14th Amendment. What a piece of garbage that is. And if you're an original class citizen, you've always had it. Say, look, you guys don't seem to understand that your local county or state municipal code or law, whatever you want to call it, that says I have to jump through some kind of unworldly hoops in order to have this gun in my house for self-protection. Well, that's been ruled unconstitutional. And because you haven't done anything about it, that's your problem, not mine. But the deal is, this scuzzball busted down my door, came into my house, showing violence and extreme prejudice. I was in fear for the loss of my life or serious bodily injury to myself or anybody else in this household by this person who was showing motive, intent, and opportunity to inflict death or serious bodily injury on any of us. Therefore, I responded. And in that response, I used lethal force, firing at this person. Then I called 911. As you can see, here's the person. There's their weapon, whatever it might be, whatever the situation is. And they appear to no longer be breathing. So either they're in need of medical attention or perhaps they're dead. But I responded with lethal force because I was in fear of loss of life or serious bodily injury to myself or anyone else in here, and everyone else in here. And that's all you need to say. That's it. If they try to get you on having a gun in your house, all you have to do is pull out the McDonald decision, show it to your attorney, who's very crafty, should be very well read on constitutional rights. If they're a criminal defense attorney, they know anything at all about guns. Say, look, Your Honor, at this lower court, the highest court in the land made this ruling, which makes this entire court appearance negated. So we move for immediate dismissal because the local prosecutor has no grounds for any sort of charge because the charge that my client has been brought up on is, in fact, unconstitutional. Show it to you right here in this decision. I have it highlighted. Here's copies for everybody. So we move for immediate dismissal and to restore my client's rights and their gun or guns, whatever it was that you took away. Keep in mind that it's a gun that Sam Colt developed that when he did, he said, God created man, Sam Colt made them equal. Stay tuned. There's more to come after the break. I'm your host, Bill Carnes, right here on 2A Radio.
If you live in a state which allows Class 3 NFA firearms and accessories, and you either have an interest in or already own Class 3 NFA items, the process for an individual to own these items includes photographs, fingerprints, obtaining a letter of permission from your police chief or sheriff, and a full personal background check which is spread across the whole federal system. Until now. Forming an NFA trust eliminates the requirements of letters of permission and all personal data and background checks in purchasing and possessing NFA firearms and accessories. NFA trusts offer a level of anonymity as well as flexibility in the purchasing, possessing, and storage of your Class 3 NFA firearms and accessories. To learn more about forming a secure and flexible NFA trust at a fraction of the cost from attorneys, visit www.billcarnes.com and click on the NFA tab. That's BILLCARNS.com and click on the NFA tab.
As long as politicians attack our rights, Bill will be fighting for them. 2A Radio with Bill Carnes is back.
Back on!
And welcome back from the break. You know, I just want to take this opportunity to say that the term anti-gun, somebody who is anti-gun, is really, and most of the time they just have no idea. As a matter of fact, they're totally blind to this. They're just that dumb. What they really are is pro-violence. If you're anti-gun, you are pro-violence. Here's a reason why. You don't need a gun to be violent. And if you take guns out of the hands of the vast majority of the population, the good people, only the criminals will have guns. Let's say that your anti-gun fantasy of, boom, all guns in the world disappeared. There were no more. Not even antiques, relics, or anything like that in a museum. They just disappeared as though they had never been developed. Okay? Let's say that fantasy occurs. Then what do we do? What do we have? We have disparaging size, force, and effect. You got some dude in his young 20s who's 6 foot something, 200 something, and just massive muscle and a bad attitude and a really violent streak in them. One-on-one, most people won't be able to handle that. They need to be able to defend themselves. And you can't call the cops to do it. Because at the moment this guy attacks you, you're not going to grab your phone and call 911 and describe what's going on. You're being attacked. By the time the 911 operator would actually get to answering the phone and asking you what's going on, very likely, you may be already dead. So that's certainly no answer. Those pro-violence people who talk about taking guns out of the hands of the population. And look at the crime rates that are so low in England, other parts of Europe, Canada, Australia, Japan. Look how low the incidence of murder are, the incidence of violence. They're all lies. They take these numbers and they spin them. As a matter of fact, a lot of the governments, before they release the numbers, spin the numbers. I'll give you a perfect example. The Violence Policy Center, otherwise known by their moniker VPC, they consider everyone under the age of 25 to be a child. So when they talk about children homicides, children deaths, they're talking about 7 years worth of adults. Guys, thanks for staying tuned today. Send me your emails.
I'd like to close by saying, to those of you within our government, we will be watching you, Congress, the executive, and judicial branches all very closely as we organize to save our freedom, liberty, and country. We will not become the subjects of governmental rule.
Thanks for tuning in. Bill will be back tomorrow. Now go side in and shoot straight. The Two-Way Radio Show with Bill Carnes. Learn more about Bill at BillCarnes.com. Send your comments to Bill at 2ARadio.com.